Today, the property dominoes are continuing to fall hard. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, the latest post covering finance and property news. Over the past week, we've seen more indicators that the housing market is battling with a storm of issues, from rising interest rates. Yeah, the RBA will have to hike further. Higher inflation, which is causing the RBA to move, of course, and higher bond yields, signifying higher borrowing costs for households, businesses. Oh, and the government. And the recent statement from the Federal Reserve at Jackson Hole reinforced the potential for US rates to go higher too, as I discussed yesterday in the US. And it's worth considering, of course, this in the light of the fact that the US dollar is the default backstop currency. Indeed, Deutsche Bank economists think the Fed will hike interest rates once in September and once in December, either side of the US midterms. Nerida Cosby, chief economist at Ray White, noted in the AFR that, "I think people were a bit spooked by the higher inflation rate and a lot of commentary around interest rate rises. That was probably a bit of a defining factor for buyers at the weekend." Yeah, too true. And actually, Christopher Joy wrote at the weekend that the RBA must lift rates despite the hit to housing. And he suggests that, yeah, if they were doing the job that they should be doing, they need to raise rates. And he perhaps thinks they're behind the inflation curve and begs the question, are they really up for it or are they bowing to their political masters? If we assume the RBA seeks to satisfy its inflation mandate and does not suffer a case of the yips, then another two rate increases would, on these same elasticities, deliver a peak-to-trough loss of around 12% to the housing market by late 2027 or early 2028. That would make this the largest housing correction in modern Australian history. So yeah, there are potential implications if the RBA does raise rates again, which is, I think, quite likely. And taking that a little further, this article makes the point that the housing slump will probably run longer than you think. The consumer is remarkably resilient, and as a result, it means the RBA is going to have to do more heavy lifting for longer than perhaps is expected at the moment. So this is not going to be a short blip, but potentially a long grind. And that's a very significant factor. Now, of course, there are other issues to touch on too, just to add an extra spice to the story. The recent failure of private credit fueled building company Baffler highlights the pressures on the construction sector and the risks from the opaque private credit sector too. It's probably yet another reason why the government won't meet its 1.2 million home target. Baffler's collapse could put projects in Sydney's west at risk and leave off the plan buyers stranded with their life savings trapped in stalled projects. And for the homes that are already completed, it's unclear how many will actually be absorbed by prospective buyers. A litany of complaints about shoddy workmanship and poor building practices are likely to spook them. And meantime, home prices continue to fall, as shown in Catalyst's Daily Dwelling Values Index, with values at the five-city aggregate level down by now 1.1% over the past 28 days, with all major markets recording declines from peaks. And so, no surprise then to see the articles talking about vendors retreating as the spring market cools. Across Sydney, new listing levels have fallen most compared to the previous five-year averages in the eastern suburbs, down about 38.9%, and the Northern Beaches down 24%. The Outer Southwest and Blacktown fell least. Of the spots with the deepest falls, Catality says the first areas are really seeing declines in terms of their values, prompting some more price-sensitive vendors to hang back. Yes, Sydney is seeing falling listings for new homes in some areas. New data from Catality showed Sydney total listings as at August the 23rd rose 14.4% compared to the same time in 2025, but new listings are down 13.2%. So that equates to around 850 fewer newly listed homes at the same time last year. There are a lot of properties hanging around for quite a long time. And this article makes the point that the market is failing to attract buyers. It's a buyer's market without buyers. Prices have fallen in much of Australia, with parts of Sydney down 6% in the past 3 months since the market peaked late last year. And of course, ANZ forecast that Sydney house prices could fall as much as 14.5%. And in Melbourne, falls there too. And just on this slide, this article is highlighting the fact that there are some interesting questions about should people buy together. Well, be careful, because of course, you've got to think about what happens if, for example, the bank mum and dad needs their money back, or indeed if you buy with friends or family, what happens if it unwinds? It is not necessarily an easy path. And certainly, to my mind, the truth is that many buyers continue to sit on the sidelines saying, why would I buy now when I can buy later for less? I've had several conversations in my one-to-one series with people who have been going through this dilemma. And of course, yeah, people want to buy because they want somewhere to live. But then if prices are going to fall further, if they wait, they can perhaps buy better. And again, let me highlight, a lot of the properties on the market at the moment are actually dogs. They've been around for some time. They're overpriced. They're defective. And so due diligence is really important. I'll be covering this with Edwin again tomorrow in our Monday property rant. But let's now look at the auction clearance story, because actually the auction clearance data for the 30th of August, probably the last before the spring selling season really comes in, eased nationally as the number of listings picked up for the traditional spring sell-in season later. But buyers are indeed sitting it out, as the AFR highlights. Auction clearance rates fall as buyers worry about more rate rises. But of course, it's more complex than just rate rises. So here is my analysis of what's happened based on the Catality data. The preliminary clearance results showed a 52.4% clearance rate for the capital city auctions across the country, down from 53.2% a week ago. And auction listings are now slowly rising. They were up 6.6% to 1,482 across the capital cities, according to Catality. The previous week's tally actually was revised down to a total clearance of 48.2% once all the results were logged. And at the same time, for comparison, last year, 70% of auctions reported a successful result. Our calculated true clearance, where we compare listed to sold, came in at 41.2%. Many sellers are now opting to put their properties into the private treaty market rather than list them failing to sell in the public auction market. Those properties tended to be at the more affordable end, leaving higher quality properties in the auction market, according to Louis Christopher, founder of SQM Research. Even above that, vendors have been adjusting their prices down. It appears for now that there's a little bit of a flaw found in the clearance rates. That will soon be tested, though, as auctions keep ramping up over the course of September. Looking in more detail, Melbourne's preliminary clearance rate eased for a third consecutive week, coming in at 54.9%, down from 55.4% the prior week, and a true clearance of 45.5%. Sydney's early clearance rate was 56.3%, with a true clearance of 45.2%. Brisbane's preliminary rate was 31.3%, with a true clearance of 19.5%, and Adelaide recorded 50.8% and the ACT 41.7% true clearances of 31.4% and 31.3% respectively. Now, while some buyers are saying they're going to sit out until the end of the year to see how the downturn pans out, there are signs that vendors are responding. Despite the increase in activity expected for spring, the numbers remain well below last year's levels, down 32.3% compared with the corresponding week a year ago. And actually, auctioneer Tom Pannis noted on X, "Something very unusual is happening. Spring starts next week, yet my September auction diary is the quietest I can remember. The market is changing fast. Sellers are accepting reality. Investors are starting to circle again, and the agents making deals are the ones who can have the hard price conversations. For sellers, the message is simple. If you've got one genuine buyer, don't lose them and don't chase a falling market. With rates uncertain, prices soft and rents rising, the next few months are going to be fascinating." Good summary, Tom. Fascinating indeed. Troubling for many, though, because, of course, they're struggling with the market and knowing what to do. Now, the financial collapse of Bathler Group does seem like a grim sequel to the falls of Babcock & Brown and Allco Finance that happened during the 2008 global financial crisis. They were darlings of the high finance world and owed their downfalls largely to their reliance on heavy debt and complex, opaque corporate structures. But this time with Bathler, it's not only that, because of the private credit, but it's also Australia's property sector that's in line. And much of the damage has been done away from the glare of the equity markets because, of course, it's all in the private equity sector. They're talking concerningly about the contagion coming from the Bathler collapse. The Sydney-based property developer was founded in 1997. And was placed into administration this week, owing somewhere about $3.3 billion. But that doesn't include the deposits paid by thousands of apartment buyers across hundreds of construction projects. As the AFR reported, the scale of the problem is probably the biggest housing disaster story Sydney has ever seen. The decision to go into voluntary administration isn't surprising, though, because for months the company had been running on financial fumes and grappling with mounting debt, cash flow problems, and construction complaints. The company actually went cap in hand to lenders for cash to finish projects, and while the exact amount required is unknown, the administrators told lenders that it could be around $20 million. True, without urgent action, the company could be heading for liquidation as early as next week, which would leave projects across Sydney's west in limbo. Bathler builds budget-friendly housing estates, townhouses and apartments in Sydney's northwestern suburbs such as Schofields, Marsden Park and Tallawong, where first home buyers and new migrants flock for more affordable housing. And yes, where mortgage stress has been going through the roof. I wonder whether there's a connection. Probably there is. The number of dwellings at risk actually are hazy when it comes to Bathler, because it says it has around 22,000 apartments and 3,500 homes under development, but administrators say the apartment pipeline is more like 14,000. And lawyers acting for the administrators told the Supreme Court on Thursday that the developer had 219 development projects across Sydney, including 45 under construction. At least five big Bathler projects, though, are under a cloud, after their environmental certifier allegedly falsified documents required for construction, complicating efforts to prevent the fail-soon developers pipeline of those 14,000 apartments and houses from collapsing. Indeed, the Environmental Protection Authority has alleged that they used falsified information at four Bathler development sites in Sydney's northwest and another near Lake Macquarie, north of the city, claiming they falsified data that was supplied to the company and to local governments. At Marsden Park, for instance, there are, according to the AFR, allegedly falsified information about waste in the soil and investigations of illegal dumping fill and asbestos testing stockpiles. That's according to filings with the Land and Environment Court. The Environmental Protection Authority alleges fake data and reports to Bathler over many years, between 2018 and 2023. The four development sites in Sydney caught up in the fake environmental data allegations are in Blacktown City. And the Blacktown Mayor Brad Bunting said the council supported work that ensures the regulatory system that protects our community and environment is not compromised. Last month, the New South Wales Building Commission fined Bathler's construction wing and temporarily suspended the licence of its director. And equally murky is the level of exposure of lenders and investors caught up in the Bathler mess. The developer's lenders include some of the nation's best known private credit firms, such as Ray White Capital, Centura Capital, PAG, and CVS Lane. Now, we should note that the $200 billion in the domestic private credit industry is heavily overweight in real estate assets, and they've already grappled with reputational problems. During the surveillance of 28 private credit funds last year, ASIC found poor practices, including inconsistent and unclear reporting, opaque fee structures, weak governance, poorly managed conflicts of interest, and bad valuation practices. The fallout of Bathler is likely to put further scrutiny on the industry's lending practices concerning highly leveraged real estate deals, and not just in New South Wales either. This is a national problem, potentially. In fact, writing in the Australian Financial Review's opinion pages last year, Mighty Partners Managing Director Carl Jamshihi noted that in private credit, questionable LVR calculations are used as a proxy for safety without truly interrogating asset quality or underwriting to a conservative value. And Bathler's troubles are likely to worsen Australia's housing supply problem too. A lack of homes in major cities, of course, has created an affordability crisis and prevented younger generations climbing onto the property ladder. Bathler's collapse is likely to put pressure on state governments to scrutinise the review, approval and regulation of building construction at a time when they're also trying to speed up the supply of homes through rezoning, planning laws and setting council targets. The collapse is pushing the federal and state government's home building target further out of reach, leaving around 5% of properties expected to be built in New South Wales this year in limbo, and prompting warnings that low-income buyers will be most disadvantaged. Planning officials in New South Wales expect 50,000 homes to be finished this year. That's short of the 75,000 needed for the state to meet its five-year target that's been agreed with the Albanese government. The 2,500 homes that Bathler has under construction, that's beyond a pipeline of another 14,000 planned dwellings, is a significant portion of the state's target. Terry Ramensley, an urban economist at KPMG, said Sydney had about 55,000 homes under construction, and the demise of Bathler would create a big ripple, even if the 2,500 apartments had been built and complete. We know we're having a pause on about 4.5% of properties under construction in Sydney. That's the headline takeaway for me. They're kind of stuck in limbo, and also they're the ones which the subcontractors would be having works owing them for. That's the other ripple impact. Of course, the Albanese government agreed with the states on the target of 1.2 million new homes in the 5 years to the end of 2030, hoping to ease the shortage in available properties, and that could limit rapid price growth. Well, of course, prices, yeah, they are tumbling. And that's at a time when most states are falling behind and developers producing the cheaper apartments are finding it very hard to make the economics work. So when you stand back and just think about this, it is a perfect storm. Potentially higher interest rates. Incomes, of course, in real terms are flat for many households. We've got construction issues galore, not just at Bathler, but elsewhere too. And meanwhile, prospective buyers are sitting on the sidelines saying, I'm not going to buy now, I'm going to wait. While some vendors, anxious to sell, are now having to cut their asking price. The bottom line for me is simply this. We are in the foothills of this property crisis, with falling prices, interest rates, construction collapse, all potentially leading to a significant pressure on the market and on households. This can also spill out into a broader economic crisis, but one which I think the RBA will have to look through because of high inflation, and one which the governments, so far at least, have been part of the problem rather than part of the solution. So it's simply this. People should be cautious and careful and do your due diligence if you do decide to buy at the moment. Remember, in a falling market, prices will become cheaper later. And of course, be very careful if you're engaging with new construction of any sort, despite the investment property boom in that sector claimed by some, because the quality of construction and the financial structure of many of those building firms are also now in question. This is going to run and run. The property dominoes are falling. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.